I'll greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a blessing for me to be here already and listening to the Bible study and your testimonies of going. I wasn't there, and I haven't listened to any of the messages yet, but last time I checked that Bern Christian Fellowship has a very user-friendly website for downloading or listening to messages, so it's pretty nice and easy to do that. This morning I wanted to look at the book, Book of John, chapter 10. John 10, we heard already about Jesus, and there's many more things to share than what we will share. As I think of my short life in the last several years, maybe more, and just what is facing the church, and what is facing Christianity, what is facing us personally, and I'm sure that, I thought that maybe one of you other brothers would have been good for you to preach this morning. I'm sure you have much more to say, but we have a very real enemy. I hope that we are aware of that. And yet I don't want to focus on him. So that's kind of why I got... That was in part how I came to chapter 10 of John. I don't want to focus on the enemy. I want to focus on the answer. And it talks here about Christ being our good shepherd. So, I thought we'll just read this chapter, and then I will ask for some words that stood out to you as we read through some key words in this chapter. And thought too, if you're a young child and you have a Bible in your hand, you're welcome to follow along in John chapter 10. As well as everyone else, I guess. John chapter 10, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf's catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Any words that stand out to you? Believe. Anything else? I am. Okay, I know them. Knowing. Okay, more. Door. Yes, I'm going to just go up here. Anything else? what was that again? Sorry. Abundant life, yes. More. The Good Shepherd. All right. Anything else? I had the fold. Well, we can maybe look at more as we go through. As I read this chapter, I see, I guess it maybe has to do with some of what Derek was sharing. How do we know? But I see the statements that he makes are made with authority. And so I think that we all believe that. I hope we do. That he says these things with authority. He says, a few of the statements that I had written down: I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And again, I think one of you referred to that, the phrase, my father, was obviously one that offended them, and they took it very seriously, and they didn't believe that. They did not believe that Jesus could say, my father, about God. But we are here, we as far as I know, we believe those things are true. And if not, then we should be talking about it more, I guess. I see a story here, and obviously these people didn't get it. It says, according to verse 6, these people didn't get it completely. And I'm not sure that we'll get it completely, but as I read this story, I see a sheepfold. I see a door. I see a shepherd, and I see sheep. And then I also see thieves and robbers. And then he does mention a hireling, which I don't know that we have explanations for all of them, but there is several that we do for sure. And so we want to just go through a little bit and see the function of each of these things and the importance of them. So let's start with the sheepfold. I'm not sure. I guess the way I see it, the sheepfold being a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of rest, is some of the things that I had thought of. And what could he be referring to? The way I see it, I think that he's referring to the kingdom of God as the sheepfold, because of how he speaks here. Some might say it's church. If we would go with that, I guess I would argue not, as in what we call Hessen. It would be the Church of Jesus Christ if we would consider that as the church. So that would be fine with me, I guess. So a place of safety and protection. And our key words, maybe I'll just write. I'm sorry, I'm not finding a good marker here, but we'll keep trying. So obviously he makes a point of mentioning the danger that's here. Place of protection, and some of these things will overlap, so I don't claim to have them all divided exactly, so that's we'll just go through it like that. Let's look at the shepherd. He says he is the good shepherd. In verse 2, he says he is the he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. As was mentioned, he knows his sheep. He calls them by name. If you think of a shepherd, the thoughts that I had on that was he is our protector. We need protection ourselves, just like the many dangers that we are facing. If you think of sheep without a shepherd, if the shepherd is gone, the sheep or the danger comes. It talks about a wolf coming. If the hireling is gone and not the shepherd isn't there either, the wolf comes and he's going to scatter the sheep and likely destroy them. So he's our protector. Another word that I had is caregiver. He brings them into the fold. And I believe that that would be the place where he could then handle them more and take care of their needs. If we consider that as being in the kingdom of God or in the church of Jesus Christ, where there is help, where there is encouragement, where there is people to communicate with, to edify one another, keep us on the right track. That is a good place to find help in the sheepfold. And with this good shepherd, if you look at verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we believe in that. Down in verse 16, it has the phrase there, one shepherd. I think what we get out of this is that there is only one shepherd. There is not that he is just a shepherd, but he is the only shepherd. So it's not just believe in something. We believe that Christianity and Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other door. There is no other true shepherd. There is only one. Well, if you talk like that, it doesn't seem very inclusive, of course, to the way they speak these days. But this is the truth, and we need to go with that. An important fact here, as one of the brothers mentioned, he calls his sheep by name. The sheep know his voice. That is, a brother talked about struggles that we have, but we do have struggles. But the good part is that we have a shepherd that knows about our struggles. He's keeping good track of us. And he knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. And he's interested in helping us overcome those things. He knows all of our weaknesses. And isn't that, I mean, our tendency, like he said, it's to hide or to shy away or to we feel that we don't want to tell people how we have troubles or we have struggles. But if we come to God in prayer and we just are open and just tell him what we're facing, of course he does know it, but I think there's a good part about just telling him what we're facing and what we need help with. I think that's a big help to me, it has been. Another thing there, he wants to supply our need. It's not that he's just doing it, but that's what he's there for. If you think of the picture of a man with sheep called the shepherd, that's what he's there for. He's there to help the sheep. He's not there to simply call out And there's no harm in the attitude of the shepherd. He is there to help. And he is well able. This shepherd is well able to supply our needs. He has and is everything for us. He has everything that we need at his disposal. He has everything. It says here later, I and my Father are one. There is nothing lacking there. Verse 14 says, what was already mentioned, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, but then I am known of mine. I think it is very important in the age that we live, as always, but it seems more and more the dangers that are facing the church. I don't think that we need to focus on the dangers again, but I think it is good and healthy for us to be aware of the dangers that are there, or else we can be caught up by them, we can be caught off guard by them. If we know the voice of our shepherd, it'll be a lot easier to decipher and to decide when we hear, because as we know, there is many voices out today. I think I've said it here before, but if Satan doesn't get us in wide open wolf approach, then he'll turn it down, and he'll turn it down, and he'll turn it down until that's how I always look at it. He'll turn it down till he gets us to wonder and to question. Another place it talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, and I think our world has many of that, much of that. So the importance of knowing the true shepherd is, it can't be overemphasized, I don't think. I thought also the verse, I don't have the reference here, placed in the scriptures where it tells us of people that thought that they had been serving Jesus Christ their whole life. They even named many of the things that they had done. And Jesus told them that he had never known them. He doesn't know them, and he never did. And so our good shepherd does want to have a relationship with us, and he wants us to work on our relationship with him as well. So it's that serious, I guess, about knowing the shepherd. We can't be satisfied with just half of verse 14 is what I was thinking. We can't be satisfied just with half of verse 14, that maybe only Jesus would know us, or maybe only we would know him. It has to be a two-way thing. The shepherd is also watching and caring for his sheep, but if these sheep will purposely choose to hear the thief and robber, then the sheep has the ability to go out of the sheepfold. I believe that is in reality how it is. We have the ability to listen to many different voices that are out there to get our attention, distractions. There is so many. So if somebody says something about our shepherd, about Jesus, or they claim many things today. They claim that they have heard. They have heard amazing things. How can you test it? How can you know? Do we have to just sit and wait? Or do we have a more sure way to figure these things out? as fathers in the homes, or different responsibilities that we might have, we hear voices, we hear people saying that Jesus told them something, but we have the written word of God, and we hear that many times here, I believe, that it has to line up with the scriptures, it has to line up with what is written for us in the Bible. It's not possible that Jesus Christ would trick us or fool us. This good shepherd is not that way at all. He is sure. He is not going he's not out to deceive us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Another thought was that the shepherd is trustworthy. He will not flee from danger. We see that here, that he will watch over us, and therefore we can rest in that. One of the questions I had is, how do we get to know him? How do we get to know the shepherd? And quite easily, if you want to know someone, you spend time with them. That is one of the key things. What we do, we go to the Word. We have the written Word. We have eyewitnesses, as we heard this morning. We have eyewitnesses that wrote down words that our shepherd has said many years ago. And that is still the direction that we need to take from the words that he has said. So obedience to his direction is another way to get to know him. As we obey, he will continue to reveal himself to us. When he calls, we answer. When he speaks, we listen. We come to him with our needs, and he will supply. It is a beautiful relationship that we can have. Now, I just thought of the comparison of knowing the voice of the shepherd. And as I was thinking of it, we had company the other night, and people are always trying to figure out. We have little twin girls, as most of you know, but most people don't know which is which. And so one of the things that I go by as well is by the tone of their voice, by the sound of their voice. And for many of you, if you've not spent time with them, it's hopeless, right? They don't look the same to me, but to you they do, I think, or many of you say they do. And I can see the reason, but I was just thinking of that as a comparison. There's so many voices that sound so close to the right thing that you have to sit down and you have to consider for a while sometimes to see, is that truly the voice of the shepherd, or is that someone else? If my little girls are in a different room, I can hear who it is often, usually. I can hear who it is just without seeing them. So think of that as knowing the shepherd, knowing his voice that well that we can just pick off quite easily when someone sounds a noise or a voice comes that you can be sure this is not the true shepherd. All right, I referred to this a little bit. I'll just... a thing about the voice of the shepherd is the things that he will say. All right, the things that he will say is always true to his character. So again, if you don't know his character, then you'll have a hard time figuring that out. You need to know his character. You need to know who he is so that you can know when somebody says something off the wall, it's no question. This is not the true shepherd that says things that are different than what his character would allow. If that makes sense, I hope so. So therefore, we can see whether these things are true or false. I just wanted to read a verse in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 5. Again, I think it's the words of Jesus here. Yes, it says here, "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Well, I've never had somebody come to me and say that he was Christ, but I have heard things said claiming that they came from Christ. These are the things that we need to be watching for. It says here, just before that, it says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And that is going to save us a lot of headache, a lot of deception. We'll be saved by knowing the shepherd. If you just jump over to verse 23, he said there, we'll just skip the rest of these verses, but it said, If any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not." And I can say from experience that that's not always easy to do that, or to see. If you hear things said, "Here is Christ," or "There is Christ," Jesus said, don't believe it. Look at Mark 13, verse 21 and 22. Mark 13, 21 and 22. "And then if any man shall say to you," it's pretty much the same thing, just another writer. It says, "Lo, here is Christ," or "Lo, he is there," believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. I don't use the word seduce every day. In my mind, anyways, it has a thought of tricking people from one thing to another, or to entice them. So if you already have something, but then to seduce someone, you would try to somehow deceive them to thinking maybe that the other thing is better. It could be in many different areas, but in this case here, he is talking about true Christianity and people trying to seduce people, Christians, away from Christ, and to try to bring them onto something that is false. But I believe, again, I believe the true shepherd can always be found of any true seeker. It's not that Jesus is hard to find. I don't believe Jesus is hard to find. He is always there for the true seeker. We don't have time to go into all the different scriptures that would teach that. But he's there. Verse 18 in John 10, verse 18 says, let's read verse 17 again. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." We talked about resurrection this morning, and that is a very amazing thought, an amazing subject to look at. It says here in verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I think maybe the Romans thought that they were really doing it when they were going through with the crucifixion, but in all reality, he was laying it down. He was giving his life. If we look down in verse 39, He had the power, is what I'm trying to say. He had the power to escape out of their sight and or out of their hand at the crucifixion. He would have had the power to leave and to walk away, no matter how many soldiers they had around, trained soldiers to keep him there, that would not have done it. Verse 30 says also, I and my Father are one, which is another important point for us to believe, that Jesus and the Father are one. Now let's look at the door for a few minutes. I see our time is slipping away. The door, it says, I am the door in this chapter. I just wanted to read Matthew 7, verse 13. The thought that we want to emphasize is that there is only one way. What do we need the door for? I guess the door is usually there to get inside. As I was thinking of it, some of us may have locked our houses when we left home. As long as we brought our key with, we're not going to try to go in a different way when we get back home. We're going to go up to the door and use the key to get in. So that is the right way to get in, is through the door. One of the thoughts that I had is our sins have separated us from God. And the fact is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there is a need for all of us to enter in and to into that sheepfold. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Again, let's go to John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, this is Thomas said unto him first in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So like we said before, there is one way to get right with God. There is one way into the sheepfold. It is through the door, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door through which all must pass to rightly be accepted in the sheepfold. Think another place where it talks about someone coming into a wedding feast, not having a wedding garment on, and he was cast out because he had not come in the right way. He did not have the right garment on. We could talk about that a long time, I'm sure. Another point, in coming through the door, If you go through a door, there's, you want to be sure that you fit through. You have to fit through that door. If you move furniture, like we do sometimes, especially when people order bigger items, you need to be sure that you're going to be able to go through his entrance and down the hallway, wherever. And same with this one. There is not remodeling that can be done. There's not changes that can be made to our own liking so that we can take different things through this door. We have to come on his terms. Look at verse 9 in John chapter 10. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we talked about some of the things that we find here. We find salvation there. We find freedom. We find rest. And basically, we find all of our needs supplied, and we are satisfied. I love that we can be satisfied there. I believe many are trying to carve their own door. Jesus tells us that there is only one door. Anything else is false. And a thought on how to make your own door, how people are trying to, and possibly it often can come home, close to home, where we have thought that we could make our own way somehow. But it doesn't matter what we try, if we try religion, or if we try to make our own Jesus, like people do many times, try to imagine who Jesus is different than the scriptures, is no different than being steeped in some other religion of whatever name you want to put there. These are not the ways, and they will not get you into the sheepfold according to the scriptures, not according to my words, but according to the scriptures. It does not get you in. Anything that comes over a different way is false. Verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the purpose of the thieves and robbers. The enemy, as we know, is very busy. Just a few levels that I thought of where he is working, of course, on people, but I believe that Satan is trying to destroy everything that God has set up. You could talk about church, you could talk about home, you could talk about government, family, or personal life, or of your children. I guess if I look at what is going on in our day today, in our country, the country of Canada, I see things coming. A brother talked about somebody getting abducted, and I often wonder how far away that is happening right here in our country. The truth is being attacked, unfortunately, by our very own governments, by the people in leadership here. I believe we need to pray very much for our leaders of our country, our government, that they would have the fear of God, or gain the fear of God in some way, so that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life, like it says in the scriptures. A brother loaned me a documentary DVD of somebody that has done some research into where he thought we were going, and I think that we are actually getting exactly where the man was saying we are supposed to be going. That people are attacking these things that I just mentioned, church, home, and family. One of the things that they want to do away with is the family, the true Christian family, the way God has ordained it. I don't say these things to scare anybody, or that, again, we need to focus on those things, but if we're not aware of what's happening, I think we could be walking into danger without knowing it, maybe. We know how marriage is under attack, very much right in the open. not just in a different country, in our very own country. I believe the day is coming very soon where we're speaking from the Word of God will be even more dangerous than it is today. Yes, we often say we have religious freedom, but if I look honestly at where we are, I think it's slipping away from us at a pretty good speed. And we need to be awake. We need to be on guard. Yes, we do have the true shepherd. We can go to him. We can... He is always there, but we know that as the testimony is given, there is a man suffering right now, and not just one man. There's thousands of men and women giving their life today. In fact, in the last few weeks, there was people, and I don't have verification of this, but there was people that told me that the refugees coming into Canada were being checked, and if you were a Christian, you were sent back. I don't know if that's for sure true. That's what somebody told me. We need to be awake, I believe. We need to be awake. It says in Matthew 10... it's about the 12 apostles being sent forth. And I don't think that this verse is only for the apostles. If there was wolves back then, there is definitely wolves today. Matthew 10, verse 16 says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." It says there, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." Yes, I guess my encouragement to the church is let's be in prayer much for these things. The enemy is working hard. It doesn't matter if the church is praying or not, but the enemy is working very hard to destroy, to kill, and to scatter. And we have a shepherd that wants to watch for us. He wants us to win. He wants us to be healthy sheep. It could be in our day that it will be us that will be abducted. I believe it well possible if, in the next, I think I'm around 40 right now. If I would live, and my dad is 80 right now, so if I should live another 40 years, it is very easy for me to, as thinking of religious freedom and persecution, we could see it in our lifetime if the Lord tarries. So let's be encouraged to follow the shepherd. I think he'll take care of us no matter where we have to go. But so let's just pray. God, this morning we thank you that we could get together here, that we could look into your word. Lord, that we could be inspired by the resurrected Jesus, by the Good Shepherd, and by the door into the sheepfold. God, these are things that we need to know more about, Father. I pray for the church right here in this building, that you would help us not to be asleep, that you would help us not to be more relaxed than we ought to be. Lord, that we would have open eyes, not that we would give into fear, but that we would be following close behind the shepherd. And Lord, that we could know for sure what your voice sounds like and what you say. As we hear many different things, and that we would not be carried away with these things, but that we would be holding to the true shepherd. God, there is many different ages here in this building. I pray for each one that you would guide, that you would draw us to yourself, Lord. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.